Impressions, perhaps, are all you take away. Many of the impressions were positive: the cleanliness, the absence of beggars and rickshaw pullers, the honesty. Some of the impressions were sad: the enormous, fully staffed dining rooms where I would be the only customer, the empty streets where my taxi would be the only motor vehicle in sight, and the traffic police would hold up pedestrians blocks ahead in preparation for the rare approach of an automobile. And some were terrifying. I remember the morning when I was leaving Nanking on the early flight. I was dressed in my hotel room when I heard shouts from the street. I ran to the window. In the square below, hundreds of men, women, and children were executing a tight-rank military drill. At this hour, before factories and schools opened, the entire population turned out to march, to shout, to lunge, and to perform a whole series of high-precision maneuvers. My taxi drove me through the midst of the exercises. As we reached the corner, a command was given to freeze, a maneuver in which each person froze in the position he had happened to be in, legs in mid-stride, arms outstretched. All those arms seemed stretched at me, the fingers pointing, the eyes accusing. In the airplane, I tried to shake off the impression, but the eyes had followed me. Was I guilty, along with my fellows of the West, for the accusing looks? What kind of representatives of Christ had we been? If our treatment of the Chinese had made them anti-Western, that was tragic. But if it had made them anti-God, that was the everlasting loss. I kept remembering the words of a commune leader when I asked if I might see their church. "In the commune, sir," he had said proudly, "you will find no churches. You see, religion is for the helpless. Here in China we are not helpless any more." It was 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning, and I sat on the bed in my hotel room in Peking, waiting. An hour earlier I had told the guide, "Today I would like to go to church." "Church," the guide said. He promised to try, but he assured me there were very few churches, especially Protestant churches, still open in Peking. Half an hour went by. If he did not come soon, the time for the morning service, 9 o'clock, would have passed. But just before 9 he returned, his usually solemn face aglow. "Sir," he said, as if he had discovered something extremely quaint and rare for me, "I have found your church. Come with me." The little church was unkempt and uninviting, and it did not surprise me that my guide refused to go inside. So I walked alone through the rusted iron gate and found myself in a large, bare room, as dull to the eye as the outside had been. In the whole room there were only 2 touches of colour. One woman wore a red cardigan, and beside the pulpit stood a red Chinese flag. I sat down in the back, just as a granny tottered over to a little out-of-tune piano and started to play.